In the book of Romans, chapter 6 and verse 4, reading from the King James, almost the same in practically all translations, the Bible says, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Now look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 5. "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." Verse 7 says, "For he that is dead is freed from sin." Bible believers and radio friends, call someone, tell them that a straight shooting Bible broadcast is on the air, and we're going to get back into the book of Romans chapter 6 as we are in our continuous, exhaustive study on the subject of what does the Bible say about baptism. I want to preach what the Bible says about faith. I want to preach what the Bible says about grace. But I don't want to be like the vast majority of the preachers today. They won't preach and give you an exhaustive study of what the Bible says about baptism. And when it contradicts their own doctrine, they will try to explain away the Bible. And so call a friend, get them to tune in. But I want to remind you, we're so excited about the upcoming old-fashioned Delmarva Family Camp Meeting Saturday, July the 11th through Friday, July the 17th, starting off Saturday night, 7 o'clock, across the road from Trout Pond State Park, Laurel, Delaware, starting off with an old-fashioned gospel-singing jubilee. And then Monday night, we have David Jones and Harvey Hacker. We have a powerful, powerful duo there. David Jones is just a tremendous preacher of the gospel, and Harvey Hacker always raises the roof. And then on Tuesday night, we have Linwood Smith. I don't know exactly where to categorize him, except that he's loved all over the country where he goes. They love him, and he's a powerful preacher. And then Don Cooper is going to be a blessing to you on Tuesday night. Then we have a powerful program on Wednesday night. We have Glenn Bourne and then DJ Maxa. Glenn Bourne is a straight-shooting Bible farmer professor who preaches the Bible and no creed but Christ. And DJ Maxa is another roof raiser, and you're going to miss something if you miss them. Then, as we go to Thursday night, we have Kerry Allen, the head of person-to-person evangelism, a powerful preacher out of Hillsborough, Ohio, and then a new one, Ray K. Fumia. They gave him a standing, abrupt, absolutely in the middle of his service, a standing ovation when I heard him in Georgia, and he preaches to the glory of God, but he's a powerful preacher. You're going to get a blessing out of him. And so that's Thursday night, Kerry Allen and Ray Fumia. Then on Friday night, we close out with Bob Ponshott. We're going to have Tom Shelton, a nationwide known gospel singer. He's recorded. He sings to the glory of God down in Florida in the winter, up in this part of the country, in the mid part of the country. In the summer, he'll be bringing a concert. Then Bob Ponshott out of New Jersey, powerful preacher. And then Bobby Wallace, a young man that is on fire for God. And then I don't have time to give you all of these other preachers, Neil Gilliland, Garrow Florence, Bob Kidwell, Larry Evans, Hannum Taylor, Kevin Yeager, Pat Woods, Derek Baker, Matt McManaway, Joe Guthrie, Wayne Jocelyn, Michael Jackson, Danny Nichols, Ray Fumia, Sonny Furrah, and others, as we emphasize the preaching of the gospel. You see, we have singing, but the Bible doesn't say go into all the world and sing. It says go into all the world and preach. We have a lot of good quartet singing, a lot of good gospel singing, but we emphasize the preaching. And this is not a shake, rattle, and roll modern type of a contemporary program. It is a straight down the line Bible program where we give glory to God and everybody is invited. Programs for all ages. Now we're in the book of Romans. The Bible teaches that Rome was represented on the day of Pentecost. If you go back to Acts chapter 2 when Peter got up to preach, the Bible teaches that there were people there from all over that part of the world. They had come all the way from up near Russia, all the way from Rome, across Asia Minor, from Egypt. There were strangers there, proselytes. It was the Jewish feast day of Pentecost, but it was D-Day, friends. It was Victory Day. It was the day prophecy was going to be fulfilled and the gospel was going to be preached for the first time. And I wish preachers out there would go back and read what kind of preaching was presented the first time it was preached, and I wish these television evangelists would give one good sermon like Peter gave it on the day of Pentecost. Not one of them will end up their sermon like Peter, not one of them, on Sunday night, I'll guarantee you. Well, now, in the book of Romans, as Paul wrote to Romans, it's interesting, back in Acts chapter 2, there were people from Rome there on Pentecost. They were converted, repented, were baptized for the remission of sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit, went back to Rome and had a church fellowship back there. Later on, Paul got to be with them and share with them. Then he wrote a letter to them, and he wrote to them addressing them as saints. You see, these epistles were not written to people to convert people, as we have shared with you before. On Sunday night, you'll hear these television evangelists quote these passages that were written to people that were already saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. That was written to people that had already been saved by faith, but not by faith only. For instance, one of the favorite passages of the Sunday night preachers is Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith," and so they'll say, "All you have to do is have faith," and they'll quote Ephesians. But read in Acts 19 how these same Ephesians were saved. They had not heard tell of the Holy Spirit. Paul said, "What kind of baptism did you get?" They said, "The baptism of John the Baptist." They had to be scripturally baptized to get the remission of sins. Do the television evangelists tell you that on Sunday night? BG never told it. Jimmy Swaggart doesn't tell it. These big preachers that have these big cathedrals with these charts all over the front, they don't tell it. They will cut you down if you try to quote Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 and claim it is relevant for us today. I've had people laugh at me when I've quoted this. I have a friend by the name of Sonny Farrell who's on the program this year. He heard a preacher out of Tennessee that said any preacher that would preach you had to be baptized for the remission of sins is preaching a doctrine right out of the pits of hell. How far can people go from the Word of God? If the Bible teaches faith, we must preach it. If the Bible preaches and teaches grace, we must believe it. And if the Bible teaches you have to be born of water and the Spirit to be saved, we must preach it. And there was no doubt about what this water meant until the faith-only Calvinists came along about 500 years ago. All right, now it's interesting. I want to challenge you people that have an old Bible. If you have an old family Bible, if your grandfather had an old family Bible or your great-grandmother had an old family Bible, I want you to read the center column scripture references. For instance, go to the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, and you read the verses that they direct you to. It was universally believed for 1,000 years that baptism on the basis of faith was for the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that it was a burial. Not a little water sprinkled on the head or poured on the head. That is a fabrication. That is a departure from the original. When Paul wrote to the Romans, he addressed them as saints. Look back here in chapter 1. It's very clear what he does there. But now in chapter 6, he teaches them that baptism is a burial. Are there those of you out there listening that were not buried in baptism? If that's the case, you have not been baptized, and you have to be baptized to be saved. It's not just being buried in the water. It is including being buried in the water. There is no baptism possible on earth, under the earth, or above the earth without being buried. Baptism is a burial, symbolic of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Sprinkling or pouring does not picture the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And all preachers that will sprinkle you for baptism or pour water on your head will admit originally, they might do it with a red face, but they'll have to admit originally baptism was a burial. Let's look at Romans chapter 6. Paul really deals with this, beginning with verse 1. He said, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" And then listen to this, God forbid. "How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" Look at verse 3. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" When you are baptized, the Bible teaches in Acts 2:38, you're baptized for the remission of sins. Acts 2:38 teaches when you're baptized to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Lord gives the Holy Spirit to them that obey Him. Now, when you're baptized into Christ. Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe the Bible? Well, listen to this. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, why be baptized into Him if you're already in Him? You have to be baptized to get into Christ. When you're baptized into Christ. The Bible teaches later that you're also baptized to put on Christ. The Bible says in verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death. You have to have a master's degree or a doctor's degree from Harvard or Yale to explain this away. A third grader understands this. The Bible is plain. But theologians will spend tens of thousands of dollars to go to big ornate institutions and come away explaining away the plan of God. I remember right in Lewis, Delaware, several years ago, we were working with the New Testament Church of Christ there. We had some people that were visiting. And I had a chance to teach them. And I gave them some scriptures. And they went up to Wilmington and came back and explained away, tried to explain away every single one of those scriptures. They tried to explain away that Acts 2:38 didn't mean that. They tried to explain away, and their preacher up in Wilmington had told them this. They tried to explain away Acts 22:16, Mark 16:16. They tried to explain away. They have more love for their denominational doctrine than they do the teachings of Jesus Christ Himself. All right, now, listen to what the Bible is saying here. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Have you been baptized into Jesus' death? Someone says, what does it mean to be baptized into His death? Jesus was buried. Have you united with Jesus in burial? He was buried for you. Are you going to shortchange Him by not being buried? And when you decide that what we're teaching you is the truth, when you go to the Bible and find out that it is the truth, don't go to someone that doesn't teach the truth to get them to baptize you. Come to somebody that believes it and preaches it. Get out of places where they're not preaching the doctrine of Jesus Christ. So it says very clearly here in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death. I wonder what there is about that that is hard to understand. I have a niece, my wife's little niece, one time, I guess, was a little distraught that I was a little slow moving away when the light turned green, and she asked me what shade of green I was waiting for. Well, my friends, what is there about bury that we don't understand? Wherefore, we are buried with Him by baptism. You can't be buried with Him by baptism by being sprinkled or poured. The word sprinkle or pour is never used in connection to baptism. It's always the word for burial. The translators in the King James have slipped up and used the word dip, though, one time. You remember the man that was in fire, and he asked that the servant of God dip his finger. That's baptize, dip his finger, baptize his finger, and touch his tongue with water because he's tormented in flames. The word baptize means dip. It means plunge. It means immerse. And the Bible says we're buried with Him by baptism. My friends, what does it mean? What's the significance of it? You say, why do you harp on that? It's because your soul salvation depends on whether or not you obey God and do what God has told you to do. It's invitation time as we come to you now today on this New Testament Christianity broadcast. And I'm thankful that people around the country are tuning in by way of the internet. I'm thankful for that wonderful medium, our broadcast and our home station in Delaware. The gospel is going out simulcast at the same time on the internet worldwide. New Testament Christianity can be heard. And wherever this gospel is preached, we want to preach the full plan of salvation, that in order to be saved, you must hear the gospel, believe it, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ, be buried in baptism for the remission of sins, and arise and walk in a newness of life, and be at the Lord's table on the Lord's day. God bless your hearts. Don't forget the old-fashioned Delmarva Family Camp Meeting coming up July the 11th through the 17th. Let's close with prayer. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the plan of salvation, and we thank you for thy word. And help us to obey it from the heart. In Christ's name, amen.